I've always struggled with finding time to manage my finances. At the end of a busy week, the last thing I want to do is spend time budgeting all of my expenses or tracking down customer service teams to cancel old subscriptions I no longer use. But now I use Rocket Money, and it does all that for me. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills so you can grow your savings. Stop wasting money on the things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/Washington Post. That's rocketmoney.com/Washington Post.
The Post Reports podcast is sponsored by T. Rowe Price. At T. Rowe Price, we examine opportunities firsthand to help uncover the full story for our clients' investments. Put our strategic investing approach to work for you.
From the newsroom of The Washington Post.
Hello, hey, yo. Here's Sindhu Isabek from The Washington Post.
Washington Post, this is Wesley.
It's Lori Aretani over at The Post.
I'm good.
I'm Martine Powers, and this is Post Reports. It's Christmas Day, December 25th. Today, a family gets a home for the holidays and the history of gingerbread. Here in D.C., this is the time of year when the local government makes this big push to try and help people living in shelters transition into longer-term housing, ideally in time for the holidays. Post reporter Jessica Contrera went to visit one of these families, and she brought us this story, told from the perspective of 10-year-old Kamaya Johnson. Kamaya and her family have been living in an old Holiday Inn Express that the city had converted into a shelter.
Kamaya said that her mom took her to this shelter, but when she got there, it looked like it was a hotel. And so she asked her mom, is it a hotel or is it a shelter? And her mom said, it's a hotel shelter. And so that's kind of what Kamaya knew.
Who slept in one bed and who slept in the other bed?
We like switched beds throughout the night.
Mm-hmm. So they had a room with two beds.
But like most of the nights I slept on my own bed.
And her mom and the twins slept in another bed.
So I have all doing it to myself.
They had to be in their room every night by a certain time because there would be a guard who would come and check on them.
We have to be in before 9 o'clock.
Oh, okay.
She could tell me all kinds of things that she liked about the hotel. She said the food that they served was good, and she said that it was pretty quiet most of the time. And then when I would ask her certain questions, then she would say things like...
It smells like what?
It basically smelled like feet and...
Yeah, the hallways smelled like feet and weed. Or... Yeah, we didn't have anywhere to play outside. There was only a parking lot.
They had a playroom, but it was like for small babies.
Mm.
So the big kids wouldn't have nothing to do. So.
But she would tell her mom all the time, you know, that's okay. Like her mom said that Kamaya really knew, seemed to get that sense that this is how things were and they would have to make the best out of everything.
It was like a home to me because it was really quiet.
DC is always helping counsel the people who are in shelter to try and find them a place. But the really, really difficult thing about that is there's a lot of people who need a place and the city is crazy expensive. So they learned that they were going to get an apartment and they went to an office where they were given a key. And Kamaya's mom told me that the woman who gave them the key looked at her and said, you know, I can tell you really deserve this. And Kamaya's mom cried, and then they went out to Starbucks to celebrate, and then they went over to their new apartment, and they moved in. I spent the afternoon with Kamaya and her mom, and then her mom had to get ready to go to work. So I went home, and after writing my story, I called them back because I wanted to read it to them and make sure that I got everything right. And Kamaya was so cute. She said, Miss Jess, can I add something? And I said, well, what do you want to add, Kamaya? And she said, we got a Christmas tree. They got a Christmas tree from Kamaya's aunt and they had decorated it. And so they have this living room that doesn't have any furniture, but it has a Christmas tree and it's all lit up in red lights. And so when Kamaya hung up the phone, she texted me a picture of the Christmas tree. And I replied, it's beautiful. I love the star on top. And she replied, thank you. I love you too.
Jessica Contrera is a reporter for The Post. You can find a link to her story and others in the Post's Fresh Start series at washingtonpost.com/postreports. And now, one more thing. The Post is known for a lot of things. All the president's men, a newsroom with lots of serious journalists running around. But one thing that most people don't know about is that we have a test kitchen on site. It's called the Food Lab, and it's kind of glorious.
Goody good morning, you lovely lady. This is your friendly chef bringing you your daily baking recipe. And this one takes the cake.
Fourth floor.
Angela.
Hi! Oh my gosh, you look so good for somebody who's on radio.
Oh my gosh, no, I just...
So when food writer Mary Beth Albright invited me down for a baking adventure to learn more about a holiday tradition, of course I said yes.
Well, so today we're going to do a gingerbread man cake. Am I get started?
Yes, let's do it.
Yay! Okay.
I'm going to give this to you because I know you're a professional.
Whoa! Oh, it's going everywhere. There you go. Spray it. Get all over his face and his legs. Because obviously when he comes out, you want the cake to come out so that there's an actual face on it. Perfect. Gingerbread started getting made with molasses in the United States is because it was so inexpensive. If you look back historically, a couple hundred years ago, that was a really inexpensive form of sugar. And so that's why in America it's made with molasses, and in places like Britain it's made with honey, you know, whatever's available around.
So it's sort of adapted to whatever was available.
100%, yeah. Put it in.
I feel like this is too much. I don't want to be greedy.
There's no such thing as too much batter. It's great. And then you can just pour that in, pour the whole thing in. When I'm making a traditional gingerbread cake like this, I like to put it in a gingerbread man shape. The time that gingerbread men in shape became popular was in Elizabethan England. Spices were still a form of showing that you had enough money to buy spices, right?
Yeah.
But they were becoming common enough because of the trade routes. They were becoming common enough that people could, you know, have ginger and experiment with it. So Queen Elizabeth I used to give visiting dignitaries little shapes of themselves.
No
way. In the shape of men, they were decorated.
Whoa.
And it's kind of funny when you think that her mother was Anne Boleyn and how she died, and now how we eat gingerbread men. Head first. Yeah. All right, now stick it right
so
in
dark.
The oven. Okay. Now, which parts do you want to cut off first? Off with their heads? Cut off this whole torso if you want. This is your cake. Well?
Oh,
Martine, you got a lot to celebrate.
Yeah.
Okay.
Cheers.
This is so fun.
This is beautiful. Right? Thank you for showing me how to do this.
Oh my gosh, thank you for doing this with me. It's only fun when you do it with other people.
Mary Beth Albright is the host and editor of Food Video at the Post. For her gingerbread cake recipe, go to washingtonpost.com/postreports. That's it for Post Reports. I'm Martine Powers. Have a wonderful holiday, and we'll be back tomorrow with more stories from The Washington Post.
Post Reports podcast is sponsored by T. Rowe Price. At T. Rowe Price, we examine opportunities firsthand to help uncover the full story for our clients' investments. Put our strategic investing approach to work for you.
The best conversations I have with my colleagues are the ones that happen when no one is looking, when we're not 100% sure yet what to write.
Hopefully, having conversations like this can help you figure out your own point of view. That's kind of our job as Washington Post opinions columnists. I'm Charles Lane, Deputy Opinion Editor.
And I'm Amanda Ripley, a contributing columnist. We're going to bring you into these conversations on a new podcast called Impromptu.
Follow Impromptu now, wherever you listen.